Something in the way he moves looks my way or calls my name. It seems to leave this troubled world behind. And if I'm feeling down and blue or troubled by some foolish game, he always seems to make me change my mind.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. We're attempting to do this in a unique way to continue bringing you guys content. Obviously, the sports world has completely shut down, including snooker, which I know that hurts a lot of people. Snooker tournaments are down, guys, so it's almost over. But we're going to attempt to do this podcast every single week while socially distancing. We're going to get guests on the phone via the Ringer app, and we're just going to try and do this. I hope we can provide you guys some relief. We're going to start to do a daily podcast, Jason and I. So check that out too, called Scarborough Country, the virus episodes. 30 minutes a day, just our take on the world. There'll be a little bit of sports in there. But I think we want to do our top take of the day. We have a great guest today, by the way, Megan Gailey, who worked for the NFL Network, is married to a great comedian. She's a great comedian and married to a great guy, CJ Toledano, who is an NBA guy. So her love of sports, she tells one of the greatest Pat McAfee stories ever on this episode. So you definitely want to stick around for that. But top take, Jay, let's take it away.
Well, yeah, the top take of the day is obviously, you know, the sports world and games have ceased, but I think, you know, when we look at the larger picture of what this virus has done and how it has deprived us of this thing, this distraction, this thing that we would need that and we would otherwise use to get us through a tough situation like this. When you think about, you know, what do I need right now when I'm sequestered in my house? It's to watch sports. That is the distraction that keeps you away from the terror and the disasters. And now without that, we're stuck. So we're forced to sort of make
and the truth of it is, Jay, that people would have watched the games without fans. Like if you would have said the March Madness was going to continue and we'd have this tournament of games without fans, people would have gladly accepted that. But that's not even happening.
I am finding myself watching my son play NBA 2K and getting really into the games. That's how desperate I am for sports. I'm arguing with a virtual Doc Rivers. Like, why is Paul George not in the game?
Aren't we all arguing with a virtual Doc Rivers on a daily basis? I mean, I'm watching old Michigan on YouTube, like full like 1989 Michigan versus Illinois in the NCAA semifinals. You know, I'm watching these old full games because you can get them on the TV. They look like real games. And you're watching the old playing style versus the way that it is today. I watched the old Michigan 1991 against Ohio State to get to the Final Four in the Elite Eight. And by the way, both teams were like 3 for 10 from 3-point range. Like neither team took more than like 10 3-point shots.
Didn't Ohio State have that guy, Chris Gent or something like that? The lefty.
Yeah, Gent. He was awful.
Yeah. I mean, I watched 1979 Cubs versus Phillies, the 23-22 game at Wrigley Field where the Phillies won. Spoiler alert. Bruce Sutter on the hill. I mean, it was, and the Cubs came back from 22-20 in the bottom of the eighth to tie it 22-22. Everyone was out of shape. Barry Foote was up. Barry Foote's, the number on his uniform was too small. Like in my mind, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, I need Gar Reines to recreate every single one of these guys' batty stances. Next time I see Gar Reines.
Well, so you got to make him do a Barry Foote. The truth is, like, who is happy about, is anyone happy about this stoppage or this shortage? I mean, some athletes might be happy that they can spend time with their families, which they normally can't, but is anyone happy about this? That's the question.
I will answer that. No, I think there is one group of people who are happy about the coronavirus and they won't admit it publicly, but it is the Houston Astros. Because when you think about a group of people, a team that was more maligned, a team that was under the microscope, a team that everyone was gunning for with hatred in their eyes. Now, I'm not saying that sort of hatred won't come back if we get through this in a few months and we're back and we're back on the season. But I think right now the Houston Astros are breathing a sigh of relief, because when baseball comes back, people will just be grateful to have the games again. And the anger and the venom and the air out of that balloon that was heading straight for the Astros' head on probably two or three pitches per batter, I'm saying that air has been let out. And we're now in a situation where they don't have to face that kind of scrutiny, because we're just grateful they're going to be coming back with everyone else.
It's petty to throw at someone's head if you're out there. Just appreciate that you're out playing the game that you love, getting paid to do it. That's what you're saying.
I still think they should throw at their heads. But I do think I do think we'll, that conversation will be picked up again. I think if we don't have a baseball season and if we don't have sports for a year, you'll never hear about that thing again. I think if a few months slide by and they even start playing games without fans, you will still have that conversation again, but it will be muted, because this virus and this pandemic and this absolute like explosion into our societal traditions and our norms, in my opinion, gave them a pass. And somewhere deep in their minds, they're thanking it. They're being thankful.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that guys like Clayton Kershaw, I've been thinking a lot about Clayton Kershaw, and maybe I'm thinking about him more than I should. Probably. I bet I think about Clayton Kershaw more than some of his family members think about it. But
stop,
I just think,
stop it.
I just, not his immediate family, but maybe like a cousin, like a third cousin of Clayton Kershaw.
I highly doubt that, but okay.
I think he is one of the best pitchers of our time and deserved a ring. And the truth of the matter is, the fact that if the sign stealing was one thing that kept him from getting his ring, that's number one. Number two, now this global pandemic steps in the middle. Not that he cares about it, makes it impossible for him to complain about it, because there are people losing their lives, there are people losing their jobs. He can never complain about it again. He's set for life for money. He's had a wonderful career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but something was taken from him. And in the grand scheme of things, when we're long past this pandemic, which I'm praying for a time that we are, and life returns back to some level of normalcy, that may be 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, 4, 5, 6 years, even when he's in the Hall of Fame, he's going to think to himself, God, I wish I would have had that opportunity at least to throw at someone's head and not be like called petty for doing that.
Agree with you 100%. All right, let's take a break. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk to Megan Daly. She has a great podcast called The Greatest with her husband, hilarious comedian CJ Toledano. They are both funny comics. They are both big sports fans. And we get her on the show to tell some stories and what it means to be an Indianapolis Colts fan for life. We've never had an Indianapolis Colts fan on the show. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. We have your cure for your boredom blues through this sequestered quarantine life. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Stay with us. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is the future of technology and the current state of affairs. We are doing a podcast via Ringer, as we mentioned, and our guest on the show is a hilarious comedian who we've hung with in Montreal. We know she knows her sports. We've always been a fan of hers, and we're so glad to have her on the show. She's been very hard to get to throughout this coronavirus. She's the busiest person in the world. Megan Gailey, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hi, guys. I'm truly, truly honored. I just told one of my Corona threads of gals that I needed to stop talking to them because I was going on the Sklar Brothers podcast, and they're alive. They're excited.
Oh, nice. It's lit.
I love that. Lit. I mean, the truth is that we love to talk to comedians who really know their sports. And yeah. So like, you're a dream for us, because not only are you funny, we just saw you do the funniest set at the Belly Room up at the Comedy Store, but I think you even sprinkled some great sports references throughout that set. Just phenomenal.
Thank you. You know, I used to work for the NFL. I worked for the NFL and ESPN. So you can ask me anything.
So obviously we love that you love sports, as Randy said, and this is the question that's on my mind, because I want to know if other people have good ways of coping with no sports. How are you dealing with the fact that there are no sports right now?
It's so interesting, because I feel like sports in this crisis was really a signifier to me that it was real. Like once the NBA got shut down, I was like, oh, okay, now it's real, more so than anything right. else. My husband yeah. works it for a basketball based like company. We are huge fans. I mean, NFL free agency is really getting me through, but that's I'm it. A Colts fan and I hate Philip Rivers so much. So I was like watching it. Oh, this is bad. I mean, I went into my room and just started screaming no at the top of my lungs. And my husband was like, what happened? Who has it? Who has it? And I was like, no, we have Philip Rivers. Like he thought something
that's worse.
Catastrophic had happened in the world. And I'm like, no, this is catastrophic in my life.
Right.
When you think about Philip Rivers, when you think about Philip Rivers, he is multiplying like the coronavirus. He has like 9 kids.
He is. That's
and
the thing.
He's just like he makes too much sense in Indianapolis. Like he has so many children. He's so white. Like he is top 10 whitest people on earth and loves the Lord. And that is something that Indianapolis is going to embrace in a way that almost makes me sick. Like he is going to get there and see how many Applebee's there are and be like, I don't know why I ever lived in San Diego.
Right. San Diego's far too progressive for him. Well, I mean, the Phil Rivers rule is if he wins more games than he has kids, you're good. That's it.
You're good.
He may be good for you guys. You never know. What if he like has just this crazy resurgence and you don't even have to worry about Tom Brady anymore, right? Or he is still in the AFC.
No, I mean, no, I think the Bucks are in the NFC. I guess I get them confused because think about them ever.
Nobody does. Are they in the NFL or the XFL?
I know. Well, and I hate Jameis Winston. So even that like made me like everyone's moves have made me so happy, but my own teams. And so that has been difficult. But I like this new defensive lineman that we got. Like, I do think there's some positives. I love Jacoby Brissett. I think he's such a like good guy and seemed like the locker room really loved him. And he also had a better year than Philip Rivers last year. Like Philip Rivers had a catastrophic year. The Colts actually had a good year. Yeah. We were cursed by Adam Vinatieri, who I do love. I have so much love for, is the greatest of all time, but he cost us our entire season last year. So I think this panic to be like, we need a quarterback is a little like ill-based.
You need Robbie Gould.
I agree with that.
I would love Robbie Gould. We need a kicker. Yeah,
The interesting thing for me is that the Colts lost Andrew Luck last year. And this happens in sports all the time. Isn't it amazing how sometimes you think you lose the biggest thing ever and you become addition by subtraction? So the Nationals lose Bryce Harper and then they win the World Series. You know what I mean? You guys lose Andrew Luck and then you go on a crazy run.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Celtics are a lot better this year. The Raptors were better. I'm not even to the point where I'm able to talk about the NBA in past tense yet because it still feels like it's like when your father leaves, abandons your family. Like I'm like, LeBron's going to walk through the door any minute. He's coming back.
Right. Right. And do a TikTok dance. I mean, I feel like, you know, my son's 11 and he just this year got super into the NBA to the point where we were watching like an NBA game per night or maybe two. And taking that away from us feels like a disaster. Like that was the thing we were sharing and getting into together. And that's been put on hold and that sucks.
Absolutely. I think the NBA more than any other leagues also really is the voice of sort of social change. And you know, all of those athletes individually so much better than you do in any of the other sports. And so for them to be sick and for it to be shut down and for it to feel like they don't really have anything they can do right now almost hurts more too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, the crazy thing was that we all knew Rudy Gobert sucked. And then you saw him, what he did with the microphone. You're like, thank you, kid. It's like the Dennis Green moment. He is who we thought he was.
Yeah.
You want to crown him?
So bad.
Crown his ass.
What a tough video to live on. You know, J.R. Smith is like, finally, I can be at peace. There was a stupider NBA player than me.
Right. J.R. Smith took his shirt off and said, I can finally breathe. So let's talk about, so there is no sports. Are you going back and watching? What I'm doing is going back and watching old University of Michigan basketball games from the 1980s. That is giving me comfort in some, and Michigan football game. That's giving me comfort in some way. Do you have a team beyond like the Colts? Are you going to like go back and watch old Peyton Manning Colts games?
I'm for sure going to go back and watch that Colts Patriots AFC championship game where we came back from like 28 down. I requested that day one of the quarantine. My husband has not agreed yet. And then I think we're probably going to go back and watch. He does not care for the Colts at all. He doesn't care the way I care. So I'm going to have to really like sell him on that. And I was at that game and I was so drunk. So I really want to recreate the entire mood. You know, I want to feel like I'm back in the RCA Dome. And then I think we're going to go back and watch Cavs Warriors. The down 3-1 came back to win it.
The block. You were so drunk at the Colts game, they mistook you for the Colts kicker. Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah, Pat McAfee is like the guy who got drunk, ran away from the cops, and dove into a river.
I have a tough story about that, too. I was with Pat McAfee that night.
What?
No.
Yes.
Please explain. Tell us what happened.
I was performing at Crackers in Broad Ripple. Rest in peace. Closed now.
Hello.
And my dream entire life was to be performing stand-up and then Colts players are there. Like, I was just like, if Colts players see me do stand-up, I will wind up on the Colts. So I'm doing stand-up. I don't really like know what's, who's in the audience, whatever. At the end of the show, I realized that Peyton's backup, Curtis Painter, was in the crowd. And then along with these two other guys, one of them was Pat McAfee. Another guy was this guy who was like an All-American in college at Oklahoma, but then wasn't good in the NFL. And so they waited for me and my two friends after the show and were like, do you want to go drink with us? And I'm like, this is This is my moment. This is what I've been waiting for.
This is how I get on the Colts.
Yes, this is how I get on the Colts.
I mean, this is how I get on a couple of Colts.
So we go to a bar. We go to a bar around the corner and it was their bye week. So this was like the Tuesday of their upcoming Sunday they had off. So they are raging like it is spring break. Like they had the bartender line up like 80 different shots of Jameson and were just like giving them to people in the bar. And so
Megan, they're raging like it's spring break in Florida today, which is
exactly.
A lot.
Yes, they are coughing on each other and then playing tug of war for no reason. So
they're lining up shots, and what do you do?
So we're just, I mean, I'm getting drunk at this point. I was like a young woman. I'm like, this is a thrill for me. I'm with a punter. Oh my God. And so we got very, very drunk. Mm-hmm. I had a boyfriend at the time. And so I went into the bathroom to call him and he like later was like, you sounded incoherent. And then I remember getting into a car to go home. And then I remember there being police lights. And then the very next thing I remember, I woke up in my parents' dining room and I had 50 missed calls, 50 missed calls.
No.
And like the very first text message I opened said, turn on the news. And I'm like, oh,
that's the
my
worst. This is like, your, this is like your own, this is like your own personal punter memento. You have to figure out what happened.
Yes. Yes. And so I turn on the news and since I like slept so long, it was like 11 a.m. So like the local news was back on and it was the lead story. They were showing him being released from prison. One of the girls that I was with, she had actually gone home with one of the other players. And she said they got a call at 6 a.m. and they had to go down and bail him out. So she was there when he got bailed out.
Oh, my
God. But then my two friends and I were referred to as unidentified women on TMZ.
Come Which, on. By the way, that's probably, you still use that as a credit when you
that's
come
a great
stage.
Credit. That's an incredible credit.
we're unidentified men on TMZ. That's who we are. That's amazing. This is the craziest.
Amazing story.
I can't believe you were part of it. Did you know that he was going over the edge too, like in literally and figuratively? Or were you just like, I'm out of control myself?
No, the last like photo, I think at one point we all took like photos together. I had a photo on my phone from that night and someone had iced him. So he was like down on his knees, chugging a Smirnoff Ice. And that was kind of like the last moment that I have any recollection or that I have any record of what was happening.
How did you get to your parents' dining room? Did anyone ever explain that to you?
So I took a car. And I do remember the cops speaking to the driver. And I remember a cop saying, just take her home.
Nice. Wow. So cops were on the scene. Yeah. Oh, my God. The cops were taking care of you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it. The cops were like, she's going to be too embarrassed to be found with the punter anyway. Get her out of here.
Yeah, they probably were just like, she doesn't look good. Yeah, I can tell that she's a pretty girl and this has turned.
Did it make you a better Colts fan? Can you say my Colts fandom before and after that story? Where was it?
I think, so my fandom before was pretty high. And then I remember people telling me like, you should sell that photo. You should call in and like give your story. And I was like, I would never betray the horseshoe. I would never. Mm-hmm. And so I think my fandom probably like stayed the same, but I was tested and I realized that I was a more loyal Colts fan than I even understood.
Dude, that's amazing. I'm impressed. Now here's my thing. And this is what we tell people who think that they're real fans of sports. I say, you're not a true fan of sports unless your team losing on your particular day. When it's football, you only get one a week and you only get 16 or 17, or in college, you only get 12. So when your team loses and it ruins your next 4 or 5 days, ruins
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Are you that deep? You're that
Absolutely.
Deep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because it gets to, I remember, so this year, the Colts, it was sort of like whatever happens is a positive. You know, you're playing on house money just because of luck leaving so close. So I did have highs and lows fully. I've invited people over for the Chiefs Colts Sunday night game. And I kept being like, I'm going to be chill. I'm going to be cool. And then I was a full blown psychopath in front of all of my friends. But if the Colts lose, I can't watch ESPN for the next like 2 days. I like won't even turn the TV on.
We're the same.
That's right.
We're the same. We get so mad. We get so mad and we get so angry. And it's like, why did you do this to us? You're ruining our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel too.
Real personal.
All right. So do you think we have an NFL season? Let me ask you that. Like, obviously we can't look into a crystal ball, but like, do you think we'll have an NFL season this fall?
You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who works in sports and is a lot more connected and knows a lot more than I do. And he was talking to me about River, like he was talking about free agency. And then offhandedly, he was like, well, there's not going to like be a real season anyways. So that makes me think maybe there will be, but there won't be fans. Maybe they push it. Mm-hmm. Like it is so crazy to think like in August, in September, like this still won't be resolved. But I guess it's less that and more, well, at some point OTAs start and then training camp. And if all of that can't happen because of the numbers and the close proximity that people have to be with each other, then it's actually not safe enough for them to be playing football.
Right.
That's right.
You almost have to back time it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta
so I guess
time
I didn't
it.
Answer your question. I mean, I almost hope that, like, now that I hate my team's quarterback, I'm like, I'm fine if we miss a season. But the NFL is just so greedy And I mean that with all due respect, that I can't imagine them letting it go a full season. I think it will be modified in some way, but I do think we will have a season and there will be like a Super Bowl champion in 2021.
Again, I love how much we talk about this a lot, how much you love sports and how big a part of your life it is. Is it the same way for you that, you know, when we're so focused on the business, as it were, doing stand-up, trying to write TV shows and all that other stuff, that sports provides for you this escape where you can just turn off for like a few hours and just not even think about that stuff?
Oh, 100%. I think, like, I almost get frustrated living in LA that I don't have more friends who are as insane as I am.
Yeah.
You got two right here. You got two right here.
I know. Well, but I mean, that's like, it's like I'm constantly like screaming about things, but it is really nice. My husband obviously cares a lot. I also find sports to be a really nice escape from the terrors of the world, because like whoever has the most points wins. That's just what it is. And whether you hate them or not, like there isn't any, no one really ever gets like a fast one hold on them. It's just, it feels like,
unless you're playing the Astros. But that's why people were so mad about that.
Yeah.
Because they're like, there is order in sports, unlike politics, where you're like, well, that guy lost the popular vote, but now he's our president. Or these people are doing this thing and it's keeping these people from getting this thing. And
they're like, Megan, you're right. There's this notion that like people won't concede elections anymore. They're like, now, even when you lose, you're like, no, I want a recount. And it's like, nope, the game, you lost by 7 points in this basketball game. Walk off the, shake everybody's hand and walk off the court and try and get them next time. That's it.
I mean, it happens even in like award shows. It's like, there's things that win all the movies, actors that win. And it's like, can we see the stats on this? Because that seems crazy to me. Mm-hmm. And in sports, it's like you watch it, you know, when things are messed up, you know, like when the Saints get screwed, it's like, okay, well they got screwed, but the score is the score and now it's over. And I do love that. It's so simple and classic to me that I cling to it.
Right. Same. God, I love it. Well, so much so that you are doing a sports podcast yourself. Please let our listeners know so that they can jump on that train, what it is and what you do.
So I host it with my husband, CJ Toledano, and we are huge sports fans. He works for House of Highlights currently. We both work for the NFL. And the greatest, I know that's like a very intense name to have for a podcast that has 9 episodes, but we basically, we go back and we have a guest on and we look at, we've done like greatest coaches of all time, greatest WNBA players of all time, greatest sneakers of all time. So it's kind of a really great one for right now because we're talking about everything that's in the sports time capsule and lexicon, and we really don't need anything to be happening because we're looking back to the past.
That's so, I really love that idea. So I was watching on NBA TV Hardwood Classics the other night because I like, I need to see some sports, and they were showing the LeBron McDonald's All-American game with Chris Paul in it. And it was just so great to hear what people were saying about him and projecting his future at that point. And they were saying he's going to be the next Magic Johnson, or he's going to be, most of them were saying Magic Johnson. Then last night I watched the Michael Jordan Bulls Cavs Michael Jordan 69 point game, and I was trying to watch Michael in the context of LeBron because we hear the debate, but it's been a while since I've watched a full start to finish, not edited down, full every single play game of Michael Jordan's. And I watched Jordan play against the Cavs, and yes, you know, Craig Elo would be like the 9th guy off the bench on any NBA team right now, but and he was like their starting guy. And Mark Price is like 5'4". But like, but Michael Jordan was so dominant in a way that like it was quantifiable in my eyes to watch him, and having watched so much of LeBron this year with the Lakers, I'm like, you know what? You know what? Michael was better. And I'm not ashamed to say it. And look, I love LeBron and I think he can do the world, but there were moments in that game where Michael scored 14 straight points, and all of them were contested shots. And he was so dominant. And when he wanted to go to the rack, he scored or got fouled and made his foul shots. He was so dominant.
This is why it's great, because an argument, but this is why their podcast is great. Cause you're like, this is the best part about sports to say, all right, is Mike Trout Mickey Mantle? Let's get into it right now. I mean, is he, or is he better? Is he Willie Mays? Who is he?
And we have yet to even get to those really intense, like, individual player competitions. Mm-hmm. And some of that is because the fight it would cause between us. But I'm a known Jordan hater. I'm an Indianapolis Pacers fan. Michael Jordan and I have the same birthday. He has been shoved down my throat since I was born. But in my core, I do know that he is the greatest player of all time, but it like pains me so much. God, CJ's going to be shocked that I even said that on record.
All of CJ's Jordan shoes in his closet just lit up when you said that.
I know, exactly. Yeah, he's like, why is my bowl hat spinning around?
Uh-huh. Yeah, God, it's hard to take.
I do like
because
that you call them the Indianapolis Pacers. I do like that because they were the Indianapolis.
From Market Square Arena. Market Square Arena.
Indiana has, it's very strange to be from a place, like, you guys are obviously huge Michigan fans. In Indiana, Purdue and IU basketball is probably bigger than the Pacers on any given year.
Oh, yeah.
Just feel like it's not, I don't want it to be, I know that they're the Indiana Pacers, but it's like the rest of the state has done nothing for us. Okay. We are carrying this piece of shit place across the finish line.
Wait a minute. You're saying Terre Haute isn't pulling its weight, Megan? I don't
believe it. The Evansville Purple Aces.
Evansville's in Illinois.
The only college basketball team to have sleeves.
No, it's in Southern Indiana.
And the Purple Aces were the only college team to ever have sleeves on their
men's basketball jerseys.
And I'm sure it was a religious thing.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sure they couldn't show a shoulder. I know. Yeah. They're trying to be very, you know. But I
For
mean,
the
it's.
Lord.
All right. Mm-hmm. So your podcast is called The Greatest, and people can get it on iTunes or wherever, but it's for those who love the sports debate, which is great. I mean, because you guys are so knowledgeable, because you guys are passionate
and
whoever
you
have on as guests and you're funny, you're going to take a,
yeah. We can't wait to have you guys on. You would be a huge get for us.
We will do it, absolutely, because we have so many opinions. You know, growing up in St. Louis Cardinals fans, I mean, baseball Cardinals fans, we grew up in the 80s when they went to the World Series three times and won once and got screwed once. And it's like, it's just a fascinating, wonderful thing to be a part of, to love a team that has that sort of tradition. And again, like the Pacers of the 90s, that's when you kind of were, I'm assuming, coming of age. Those teams were so fun to watch. Like, you had one of the greatest players of all time on there. Like, you have games and people. You were into a flying Dutchman. That's crazy.
Oh, my
a dunking Dutchman.
One of my favorite Chief Seats jokes was, it's Indiana Pacers centric. It was going double Dutch. Is taking out Rick Smits and his wife.
Going on a double date
and each of you paying for yourself.
and everybody paying for themselves. Double Dutch.
I did not know Rick Smits was from a different country until like 10 years into his career. I just was like, oh, he must be from French Lick as well. Like, he's from Europe.
They're
like,
so dumb they forgot Indiana. The C. They're so dumb they forgot the C in his name.
Either he hated shaving so much, or he could only grow what we grew at our bar mitzvah. But that's that trash stash that he sported, like that probably got him kicked out of Amsterdam.
Well, and then there was that season, it was like a playoff run where they all shaved their heads and you saw Jermaine O'Neal and you were like, well, that's not good. And then you saw Rick Smits and it was like, oh my God.
He's sick.
He went from mullet to bald. It's like, you need an in-between.
Yes,
yeah, you're like, I'm so sorry about your non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Rick. I'm so sorry.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a And when we come back, we'll do some quick hits with the great Megan Gailey of the greatest podcast. We'll be right back with more View from the Cheap Seats right after this.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We're so happy to have Megan Gailey on with us. Follow her on Twitter. She is
Megan Gailey.
G-A-I-L-E-Y.
G-A-I-L-E-Y. Follow her and follow us on Twitter and follow us on Instagram. Are you the same on Instagram, by the way?
I'm actually better Megan Gailey on Instagram because there was a Megan Gailey and I needed to send her a message.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
You're better than Ezra. Better, you're like this
better
is
than Ezra.
Better than Ezra. Better yeah, than exactly. Ezra. No, it's called Better Than Megan Gailey, G-A-I-L-E-Y. Follow her on Instagram. And we tell this to all of our right now, while there aren't a lot of live shows, there are no live shows happening and whatnot. Go back in the archives and watch. I'm sure you have clips of your stand-up online. She is so good, you guys. I'm just going to say this out there to our fans. Like we said, we were running our Conan set a couple weeks ago, and we zipped up to the you'll love this because I don't know if you saw us. You saw us right as you were about to go on stage, but we yeah. were running. We ran our Conan set probably 16 times the week before we did it.
Oh my God.
We ran it 2 times at the Improv and it was great. And then we came up to the store and followed Joe Rogan in the main room yeah, on a show that was running 30 minutes late. And we got on stage around 10:55 at night. And everyone basically was done after he got off stage. He killed, and we went up there trying to run the set and then do the rest of other material. And it was one of the hardest sets we've ever had. And we were just like, why are we doing comedy? Should stop. We cannot leave this comedy store on this note. So we went upstairs and they were doing Comedians You Should Know, which was the show that you were on. And Jay and I were so mad. You didn't see it. Like Kyle Kinane was like, I can't believe I'm watching both of you guys this down. I've never seen you both this upset.
Oh.
And then the thing that started to bring us out of it was we watched your set and you made us laugh. We were dying up in the balcony off to the left in the belly room. We were laughing so hard and we're like, okay, we're going to be okay. And then we went up and did our set and it was great, but it was like all that was what we needed. But my point is that we went and saw you. Yeah, you brought us back. We needed you.
I bombed in the belly room like 3 weeks ago so intensely. People were looking at me like I was a woman who had stumbled on stage and was mouth agape. Like, what is this bitch talking? And I had to talk about it in therapy. It hit to my core.
That's Jesus. Comedy. If you're not, if you're not staring into the abyss of your own career at least once every like couple months, then I can't relate to you. I can't relate to you as an artist. I can't. I'm sorry.
But I do. I have a Conan set that your listeners could go check out, and then a Tonight Show set from a few months ago. So
Great. All right, everybody, check that out.
So funny.
All right, let's get into some quick hits, shall we, Jay?
Yes. All right. So. Look, the good news, I guess, with the coronavirus, we still get stories of people being dicks. This is kind of from back, I think, in September. An Osaka man, apparently, for the Japanese Nippon League, reserved and then canceled 1,873 seats at 2 baseball games just to get more space for himself. So he wanted to, and this is in his words, he said he wanted to, I mean, I wanted to watch the game comfortably with no people around. What are you, pre-corona?
By the way, maybe he knew.
Okay, and I wanted to stand out on TV. Okay, so
now you're a dick, and
it said that the amount. Let's see if you can guess in dollars. This is like we're going to put a little dumb people town into this. In U.S. dollar, how much were the canceled seats valued at? And you can understand why then the team would be very angry that all of a sudden these seats would never be used. Megan, in your estimation, how much?
And it was 18,000 seats?
1,800.
I guess I'm giving them a lot of credit. If they have fans, if they have a fan base that will allow for a 20,000 seat stadium. I'm going to guess, in the U.S. dollars, like when a presidential candidate is like asked how much a gallon of milk is, I'm like, $48? I'm going to say 50,000?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. $50,000?
$50,000, that's smart. I'm going to say $100,000. This is Randy jumping.
Well, get your answers in if you're listening, because the answer is $105,000.
Wow.
That he cost the team, and they're mad. It's like, dude, you cannot do that. That is like the most selfish thing in the world.
But they're also stupid. They need to be getting a credit card number mm-hmm. If I go to Ticketmaster, I can't just be like, yeah, 40 friends are coming to Beyonce with me. It's like, no, bitch, you got to buy 40 tickets.
That's right.
Well, he did.
You're saying that the system is too.
He bought them all and then he canceled them all the day before.
So he gets the money back?
Yeah. He got all the money back except for one ticket.
I feel like I'm back on his side now. I like him.
Now we're
so inventive.
Yeah, now we're mad at the Japanese Ticketmaster. You know what I mean? Like, Japanese ticketing system is the problem here. I mean, it is kind of, he may have known about Corona ahead of time. So let's give him credit if he is clairvoyant in that way. B, I don't think Japanese baseball has been this mad since Tom Selleck made that movie. Okay, so it's...
He also had the cash to pull it off. He had to spend $105,000 for his own little fun game.
He still went to sleep in a drawer every night.
All right, let's move on to this story. WrestleMania, I don't know if you read about this, no fans allowed will live stream from a training facility. Does this seem smart, or is this just another example of Vince McMahon being a psychopath?
I think the latter, because I mean, the main concern and the reason you've seen this uptick in NBA players is because they're in such close proximity and there's sweat and there's spit. And even though wrestling is orchestrated and scripted, you're still going to be like, they could still get it from each other. They're going to be smashing their faces together.
There's sweat and there's spit. And that's just between Charles Oakley and James Dolan.
And James Dolan, yes.
I hope James Dolan gets coronavirus. Is that okay to say?
Yes, it is. Do you know
our nice way of getting him out of the Knicks? And I think is that someone should pose as a record executive and tell James Dolan that his blues band, like JD and the quick shots or the sure shots, are so good that he's going to have to give up the Knicks and tour full time. And then Knicks fans, if you did a Kickstarter where you're like Knicks fans, a quiet Kickstarter, and the Knicks fans just all supported it to get him out, how great would that be?
I think that would be incredible.
Right? And then we just do it in a nice way where he thinks he's touring around. We'll be like, man, it's just, you're amazing. And like we get him touring in the most remote parts of the world. Like, dude, you have a huge following in Guam. Just get him out there.
I also think that James Dolan could see what's happening in the world right now and go, I bet I could be president.
Yes.
And that he would have to sell the Knicks to like pursue his political dreams.
So Charles Oakley, I mean, we've always said either that or 6 of the 12 security guards that stopped Charles Oakley just decide to go on a smoke break and just let him go. Okay.
Let it happen. I would love that.
Let it happen. But I mean, again, and you're a Pacers fan. So for you to want the Knicks to be good, you're saying it for the good of the game. Like you want it for the good of basketball.
I'm against abuse. And what James Dolan does is abuse. So it's like,
He's abused that fan base.
You saw the video when he made the players be a part of his band.
Oh, God. That's worse than the Michael Vick dogfighting scandal.
It's so bad. I mean, it's true plantation owner psycho shit.
It is. Yep, it is.
And he's the worst. And have you heard to add insult to injury, they had to listen to his band.
Latrell Sprewell was like on a triangle. Like, what has happened to me?
It's like,
he's like, I was choking. He's literally like, I was choking PJ Carlissimo 6 months ago. What the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I was choking the wrong guy is what he said. And then he bought a yacht and put it in Wisconsin. All right. So let me get to this last story and then we'll wrap it up and move on. And on the other side of the break, we have voicemail. But so Todd Gurley they're talking about Todd Gurley getting released from the Rams.
Randy and I are saying, are running backs like supermodels? Like after they turn 28, they become persona non grata. Like get them out of here. Like forget about. Like Todd Gurley was, and still is, an enormous part of the Rams picture. Yeah. And yes, he was hurt a little bit, but come on, man. The guy was a huge reason why you went to the Super Bowl and a huge reason why you as the Rams, you know, I don't say you because I know you're not part of the Rams organization, Megan, but I'm saying why the Rams went, like, this is an insane choice to drop this guy. What the hell is going on? Have they lost their goddamn minds is what I'm asking.
I had a fantasy football team 3 years ago named Girly Girls. I tried to trademark
it.
Always loved him. I do think, and I remember like becoming aware of this in the Mike Shanahan years where it was like he would just plug someone into that Broncos system. And I guess you see it more and more. I wonder if Gurley's issue is that he's not one of those like stocky guys. Like they seem, the stocky guys tend to hold up a little bit better. But if I found out Todd Gurley was coming to the Colts, I would be pretty happy. I mean, Frank Gore was still valuable last year and he's 40.
Frank Gore is 75 years old.
Frank Gore is 75 years old. Mark Ingram is a guy that kind of fits that mold. He's like a little
bowling ball type of a dude. Frank Gore fought in Korea. You need to know that about
him. Nobody. He is a veteran. Give him the respect he deserves.
Oh, I have so much love for him. But yeah,
does another team pick him up, do you think?
I think absolutely. Yeah. I think this is the time of year where you just buy a bunch of stuff and then you let it play out at training camp. I mean, that's how I feel about Philip Rivers. I think Jacoby Brissett could still beat Philip Rivers out at training camp.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you should treat running backs like toilet paper at Costco. Just buy pallets of them.
Absolutely.
Get a bunch of them and you'll use them at some point. That's it.
You will. Exactly. You start with seven and you end the season with half of one.
Right.
There you go.
I love it.
And then you start with seven and you end the season with a bidet.
That's an
Megan Gailey,
the bidet is the equivalent of an empty backfield. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. See, we're not even using it anymore. We're being so efficient. Well, Megan Gailey, you are the greatest. Your podcast with your husband, CJ Toledano, who we have to get on this podcast. Maybe you can figure out some way to get us to him.
I'll talk to his people.
The greatest. Talk to his people. It's called The Greatest. I want everybody on this. If you're looking for another awesome podcast to check out, especially in this time where they can keep putting these things out. Great. And we'll have you back. You have an open invite. We love talking sports with you and we just love hanging with you.
You guys are the best.
Thank you.
I hope fatherhood is going okay for you right now.
I mean, you know, we're like homeschool teachers.
I've been thinking of you. You've been in my thoughts and prayers.
Appreciate it. Thoughts and prayers. All right, Meg, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. That was amazing. Megan Gailey, her hatred of Philip Rivers to me is hilarious.
I mean, he
may be their savior. She's 100% on top of Jacoby Brissett.
But she's like us. It is so refreshing to hear someone else who is that psycho when they watch a game and have it. Like, she has literal hatred in her heart for Philip Rivers, has never met the guy. And again, he may be great, but she's probably right. In her heart of hearts, she knows this sport. She knows that team. She will be let down like the rest of Colts fans by Philip Rivers.
I mean, I've always been a fan of her comedy, but now I'm like, okay, we're kindred sports spirits, which
we
just
need to.
I
want to watch a Colts game with her and see how crazy I actually.
And then I want to make her watch a Michigan game with us and see, and
She'll
let her
it.
See how unbelievable crazy we are. All right, thank you guys for bearing with us in this show. We got one more voicemail that we got from Bill Walton. We're taking advice from anywhere on how to make it through this quarantine life, which God, I don't know how long. My so-called quarantine life. I don't know how long it's going to be, but we need advice from everybody. And of course, the big man in the middle, Bill Walton, who spent a lot of time with his own thoughts, is going to give us a little bit of advice. He left us a voicemail. Check it out.
Sklars, it's your old friend, Bill Walton, checking in. making sure that you guys are taking good care of yourself. It's a difficult time, people cooped up inside, whether or not you're surrounded by those you love or surrounded by cans of corn, beans, and rice. It's all about mind over matter, baby. And we all know that whether it's on the basketball court or out at a show, no one knows better than I that it is mind over matter. You have to throw it down, big man. As the Grateful Dead often sang in Here Comes Sunshine, wake of the flood, laughing water, 49, get out the pans. Don't just stand there dreaming. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Here comes the sunshine. Here comes sunshine. Also, if I can pass along, Randy and Jason, some indica, some sativa to help you pass the days, and maybe some reality television, like Moonshiners, one of my favorite shows that shows industry in West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee. These are men not afraid to go into the woods to literally create a good time. Randy, Jason, I feel terrible for my son Luke. Found himself without the end of an NBA season just as his young Sacramento Kings team was rallying, vibing around him like the pulsing beats of an Althea at Deer Creek. Randy, Jason, I'm doing just fine with my Jacaranda rolled tight and my Lazy Boy kicked up for my synthetic knees to relax. Stay in touch, be well, take care, and let the sun, the moon, and the stars guide you.
I'm not going to say that's bad advice, Jay. I'm not going to say it's bad advice.
He knows how to get through stuff.
He does. And he's giving you a roadmap. He's giving you a roadmap, and sometimes you gotta accept it. I want to thank our producer, Land Romo, who is helping put this thing together, Jason Smith at Starburns, and everybody there who is like tirelessly working and figuring out solutions for us to be able to continue to give you guys content. It may be a little bumpy at first, but once we really figure it out, we're going to just keep giving you stuff every week. I know there's no sports going on, but there are no sports going on, but we're going to figure out a way to continue to give you our take. Also, if you want something a little bit more, you got more time, daily, listen to Scarborough Country, The Virus Pods. You can check it out. We'll drop one in this feed just so you can hear it and then subscribe to it. And there'll be a YouTube page too, so you can check it out on YouTube. We love you guys. Punch waterfalls and do it in peace and singularly. You can still go out and punch a waterfall if you're feeling frustrated. It's just you and nature. And try and stay sane. Love each other. Listen to everybody when they say stay sequestered in quarantine. We've got your fix for you, and we are out. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Night from a Timberland. Walk with the shot that I bang with. Hang with gang, hanging with the double edged banger. Who can't please breaking your lord? If you're fake, we go boss a cat. Matter of fact, break your jaws. I'ma bring it to your chest like wind. Then fill your lungs up with all the. Starburns Avenue, a podcast network.